Three, two, one. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations. Today we've got a guest. We've got Christine over there. Never before seen. And hopefully not the last time on this podcast.
Next to her
is our boyfriend.
Yes, sir.
Gerard. And next to him is his boyfriend, me. Just a friend. Just a brother.
Brother in Christ.
Whoa.
See? In sync.
Same wavelength.
Yeah, mate. So today, we're going to be talking about a sensitive topic and an important topic. So it's mental health. And it's been burning on my heart to do this, especially now, in this day and age, because it seems everyone I talk to is dealing with this stuff.
Yeah.
Everyone I talk to is like, the words that's coming out of their mouth, it just sounds like they're hopeless. And hearing on the news with COVID and isolation and stuff, like quarantine, apparently it's on the rise. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about that today in this podcast. Yeah, so to start off, I'll just start off with statistics for Australia for mental health. So first, I'll go with suicide. So 9 Australians die every day by suicide. And that's more than double the road toll. So 9 every day in just Australia. And then 65,000 Australians make a suicide attempt each year. And then in 2019, 3,318 Australians took their own life. And suicide is, at the moment, the leading cause of death for Australians between the ages of 15 and 14. That's according to Lifeline.org. And then, according to the Australia's Health 2020 report, it shows that 1 in 5 Australians reported that they had a mental or behavioral condition in 2017 to 2018. So that's crazy.
That's too much.
Yeah. 9 Australians die every day.
Suicide.
Yeah. That breaks my heart because I was once there and I nearly became one of those numbers, you know, one of those statistics. What's your guys' take on that?
It's definitely heavy. Like you, I was there as well. Heavily depressed, heavy, suicidal. And it's such a common theme as well. And it's heaps sad. Yeah, people just need to know Jesus. They need to come to the truth. They need to know that there's hope.
Yeah. Like I nearly did it myself. And like the only reason why I didn't was because I had an encounter, a supernatural encounter. So it wasn't because I was any good or anything like that. It was just because people had told me that God exists. So I pursued him in my deepest, darkest moment. So yeah, it sucks. I hate that 3,000 people, they lost hope. Yeah, and I've been hearing in the news and everywhere that this stuff is getting more prevalent. It's being more common. So why do you guys think that this is on the rise? Let's start with Christine.
Oh, mate. I have a couple of theories, but I feel like they're not uncommon. I think that especially with obviously COVID going on, when you're forced to be isolated and you're forced to be alone with your thoughts, you know, you get thinking, and then what used to seem so unreasonable starts to make sense. And yeah, I think it's a dangerous thing to be alone. Not that being alone is a bad thing, but, you know, when, especially say if you're a person who depends on other people for your happiness, you depend on parties, you depend on concerts, all that stuff where everything is social. And all you have is social media. You can only do so much with technology. Like being in person, it just hits different, you know? So that's one, like COVID.
I reckon another thing is social media.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, media.
Social media.
Yeah, I was going to say it's become a trend to have, not yet, to have some sort of a mental illness. I think also people are self-diagnosing. Especially with apps like TikTok, where people are like, tell me you have depression without telling me you have depression. Put a finger down.
That's sort of trend.
Yeah, or like five tips to tell how if you have depression. And it's very general. And people are like, oh, dang, I feel this way as well. Oh, my gosh. And then it's not necessarily you having depression. Maybe it's just you having a bad day.
Mm. Yeah.
But, like, people take that.
Yeah.
And then they believe that they have depression, plant a seed, and then eventually they do have depression.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons as well.
But. Yeah. I definitely see that in, like, someone I know personally, they got diagnosed. Like, before they got diagnosed, they had bad days. But yet they were still kind of functioning like a normal person. But then after they got diagnosed, they started the downward spiral.
Yeah.
So it's like they identified with depression and then they lost hope in being normal. And they just, you know, committed to the role of depression.
Mm.
And yeah. And then over time, it just becomes really hard to get back out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?
Personally, it's become more prevalent. I can see that. And when I was growing up, it wasn't called depression. It wasn't called mental illness. It was called teen angst. It's always been a trend to be sad. It's always been a trend to be depressed. When I was growing up, I've listened to, you know, My Chemical Romance, Green Day, Fall Out Boy, Sum 41, like all these different punk rock bands that would glorify being depressed and alone and just all these different songs and lyrics that would sort of encapsulate what all these young people were feeling at the time, and these guys, it resonated with their soul and was like, I identify with that, and therefore I'm angsty. I'm a punk rock kid, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Now it's a little more intense saying, oh, yep, I am depressed. I have anxiety. I have social anxiety. I see things. I have psychosis and all these. I think I'm schizophrenic. Like all these different, like the whole self-diagnosis thing that Christine was saying, they see these things and they're like, oh yeah, I guess I have depression now because of a TikTok I saw. Yeah. So having it being on the rise as well, like I feel like this isn't factual, but from my understanding and from what I've experienced is that depression has always been there. It's just labeled differently now. Mm. Is it on the rise? Yeah, definitely. Because all the different avenues of media that we have at our fingertips and all the different forms of information that we can have because of the media, it definitely has a effect on how we're seeing ourselves.
Mm.
The youngest age you, from those stats you pulled up was 15.
Yeah.
15. What's that? Like year 10? Year 9?
Year 9?
Year 9. Think, year 9 or 10.
Yeah.
That's young. That's heaps young. And to actually like have to think that someone in year 9 or 10 says, yeah, I have depression.
Yeah. And they like, this is, Suicide is a leading
suicide
cause.
Suicide is a leading cause. When I was in high school as well, suicide was a big topic in year 12 because of the academic pressures and the pressures of society and whatnot and pressures of the parents. You know, being Asian, being Filipino, education was on the forefront of my life for like, I don't know how long. Education was highly up there. And that played a big role in becoming sort of starting that downward spiral. I felt like I'd never please my parents, and it was just so hard to find affirmation.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing as well. Like young people are finding affirmation in the wrong things. They see acceptance from a TikTok video by someone who they've never met before, some so-called doctor. Oh, I'm a doctor in so-and-so university. And if you have these, then you probably have depression. Like it's so like, why would you put that out there as a video to watch for kids? It's not exactly the healthiest way to diagnose somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think another thing is with the education system, I don't think it's changed since the olden days. I think in the olden days it worked because they were trained for the workforce.
Yeah.
But then nowadays they're trained and then they go to college or university and then they get the degree and then it's like, now what?
Yeah.
They can't do anything with it.
That's it.
I've felt that where like I finish school, I finish uni and I'm like, now what? I have no plan, no experience,
yeah.
And then it's like, what do I do? Which will lead into my next question. So what was your experience with mental health? Because the reason why I wanted to talk with you guys is because you guys have gone through it, and Christine,
okay,
what was your experience like with it?
It was all over the place. I'd say that Not yet. I think it really escalated during high school, but it probably really started by the age of 14. Mm-hmm. I wasn't always like a very like out there kid anyway, but like, you know, I was happy. I was good, I'd say. But then I went through a traumatic experience when I was 14. So that's year eight. Year eight, yeah. Geez, I don't talk about this too much. Yeah. Well, I haven't talked about this in a while. Okay. When I was 14, my brother took his own life, and I was the one who found his body. Mm. And yes, so that traumatized me. At the time, I didn't really feel anything. It was like, it's, you know, I was just going through too many emotions. Like, I just lost my brother. What's going on?
Yeah.
And so that happened. And then it really took a couple of months to realize, like, I am not okay. But I was quiet about it for years until 2015, 2016 is when, like, I actually reached out to someone. But before that, like, I would keep to myself about it. I would see him in corners of the room when I was in class. Mm. It was too real. It was very real. Oh, and I couldn't walk into the place where I found him for, it felt like, I think it was a year. I couldn't walk there. I couldn't, it gave me too much anxiety. Mm-hmm. I'd refuse. If someone asked me to go there and grab something, I'd say, I don't know where that is. I'm sorry. I can't do that. I'd have to get someone else to do it. Yeah. But yeah, it affected my social life. I wasn't talking as much to friends. I kept very to myself. I was isolating myself. I didn't keep a good relationship with my family, which is like, you know, when you lose someone, you should really, that's when you should be the closest. Mm. But I decided to shut them out. Mm. Yeah. So in 2016 is when, like, 2016, 2015, about that time, I remember my mental health was not good at all, but I didn't think of it as being like a mental illness. I just thought, hey, not in a good mindset right now. Like, I'm probably just down, it'll be fine. But it's been years. Mm. And I remember, like, being in my room. I don't really like using like the actual light. I like my room to be very dim and very low. I don't know, it's a nice mood. But then at the time, I would hang up fairy lights and it would just set the room in this blue light sort of thing. So not the best lighting. Mm-hmm. It was very sad, very moody. And then I probably was like with a fight with one of my parents or something, or just like, I remember being so... I would get so, what's the word? I'd get like set off by anything, like anything. Triggered. Oh yeah. That word. I'd get triggered by anything. Just, it would upset me and I'd go into my room and not want to talk to anyone. And during this night, it probably happened and it just escalated so much. It was probably one of my first panic attacks. Mm. And then, I remember like rocking in my bed and crying so much I couldn't breathe and just shaking. And then I caught my reflection in the window and I literally couldn't recognize myself and I got scared by my own reflection. Mm. It just looked black.
Well.
Like, I couldn't see my face. Mm. I just saw black. And not because it's a window and it's dark outside. I could not see my reflection and it freaked me out and I was like, ooh, I'm scared. And I didn't, at the time, I didn't really want to talk to anyone at church. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to hear about God. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. Mm. Because I know if I reach out to them, they're just going to say, hey, Jesus loves you, man. Don't worry about it. He's there for you. And I don't, like, I didn't want to hear about that.
Yeah.
I wanted to do this, like, on my own.
Yep.
Like, don't bring God into this. Like, this is me. This is about me. Right. Yeah. So I reached out. I realized that, okay, maybe I'm not okay. So, because I remember thinking like suicidal thoughts. Oh, there you go. That's the one. Suicidal thoughts. It was very intense and it was just too much. And I reached out to my youth supervisor, Miss Munzee. Shout out to Miss Munzee. She's my favorite. She's been a teacher at Rudy Hill for a really long time. And she helped me out throughout senior year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, she was the only person I could think of. And I messaged her and was like, hey, I think I'm not okay. Something's wrong with me. And she was like, okay, we'll talk about it at school. This is the first day. I think this was before the first day of year 12. Mm-hmm. So on my first day, I came into school like, yeah, I think something's wrong with me. And she made me go to the school counselor. And I was like, dang, I'm not that sad. Yeah, I ended up going on and off for about a year. Mm-hmm. And then my school counselor eventually encouraged me to go to like therapy, like outside of school. So I went to counseling on and off, and then I eventually went again because I thought I was okay. I was on and off for about a year, and then I came back because I had another big panic attack, and then Miss Munzee made me go back again and see a doctor, and he sent me back to psychiatry. Mm. And then I officially got diagnosed with PTSD. Mm. Depression, anxiety, and then I was entered into a program for early stages of psychosis. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to be in that program for 6 months. I ended up being in that program for two years. Right. I was supposed to be there 6 months. I was there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Dang, they really stretched that out. But I was there for a while. I had too much stuff to unpack, I guess. But during that time, it was just a lot. I think it's a good thing. I encourage people to go to counseling and psychiatry. That's all good. Mm-hmm. But you can go and it will help, but it can only help you so much. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened to me. Like, I went to meetings, I went to classes, they made me do a bunch of group activities, like mm-hmm. hiking and that, just to get you, like, I don't know, make you social again. Because at that point I didn't want to be around people, and I was forced to hang out with people I didn't know, but we all had like psychosis in common. But that was good. I don't know if it helped, maybe with social skills. Mental health, I don't know, but I was there for a while. And what I realized, like, when it was getting to that two-year point, I was just kind of they were telling me, like, hinting that, hey, you don't really need to be here anymore. But I would make excuses, be like, no, like, I need this. Mm. Like, I've been feeling like this. I've been depressed. I, like, had this thought the other day about wanting to kill myself. Mm. Can I stay? it was just, like, they were like, oh, I think at this point you are just making excuses for yourself. I think you're like, you're fine, you can cope. And I didn't want to believe that. And I realize now that I was too attached to my depression and what my mental illnesses or what they diagnosed me with. It became a part of my identity. Mm. And that is not okay. Like, it became too attached to me to the point where I didn't know how to live without it. I didn't know how to live without psychiatry. I didn't know, like, how to express my feelings without someone else being on the other side and being like, oh, yeah, just sympathizing with me. Like, they don't really know what I'm going through, but, like, they can just listen. Just having someone listening to you, I didn't feel like I had that at home. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think a part of me also, because of the fact that it became a part of my identity, I thought that it's what made me interesting. I think that's also a thing with a lot of people now, because of the fact that it's a trend that if you haven't gone through some sort of struggle, you are boring. And you know, there's no testimony without a struggle,
right.
You know, but that's not true at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when I saw that I was being too attached to it, I also noticed like how tired I am of being so sad and how tired I am of just like holding back. I miss interacting with people. I miss like being happy. And I didn't remember. Whoa, stop it. I didn't remember the last time I laughed and was happy, like for real, genuinely. And then I remember I was on medication at the time and I was really dependent on it. And I was like, I can't function without it. But it would make me so sleepy, so drowsy. I didn't like it, but I was like, I'm sick. I need this. Nothing else is going to help me. But it didn't help me at all. It just made me worse. It made me flat. I think it was a medication for psychosis. I don't think it was antidepressants, but it made me so sad. Yeah. And then I remember I hated going to church. I'd get so anxious and fidgety. The thing with me as well is like I didn't ever feel in control of my body. And when I was there, I just twitched so much. And I didn't understand why. Like I had to leave the building when I was at church. I'd always walk out at some point during the service. Just I didn't want to be there just because I'd have to go out and I'd have to cry for a bit. And then I'd come back in. But, like, I did not want to be there. But then it just came to one Sunday. It was like, I was so tired. I just want to be happy again. And I didn't know how to do that. And medication wasn't helping. But I remember that we had a service. And then it was during praise and worship. Yeah, it was during praise and worship. And, I was just, didn't really like, I wasn't worshiping that much of the time. Like, you know what I mean by really worshiping and putting your hands up and like just focusing on God.
Yeah.
But I don't remember if Gerard was next to me, but maybe. Or maybe you were holding my hand. I don't know, but I was.
Who knows?
We'll find out later.
It ain't about you, but no, I remember it was just this one Sunday, and then I decided I was like praying to God. I was like, God, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of this. I just want it to end. I don't want to be alive. I don't want to be here. But then I lifted my hands. Ooh. It just felt right at the moment. And then, I lifted my hands. And it was like, Lord, I just take it away. I don't want it anymore. I want to be happy. You said I can be happy. Make me happy. And then, And then he gave me this vision. I used to self-harm a lot. And like on my legs and that. I used to have scars. But they'd healed. And he gave me a vision of those scars being healed. And I was like, God, they're already healed. What are you talking about? Like, why are you giving this to me? And he was like, no, it's the scars that you don't see. They're healed now. And I was like, whoa, okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good, Lord. And then, after that, like, I just started laughing, like, uncontrollably.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop laughing and it was embarrassing, but it felt really good. And it was the first time in so long that I felt genuinely happy. And I was like, whoa, this feels really good. I don't remember what this feels like. It felt real nice. Dang. And I was like, okay, I love you. This is great.
Wow.
Yeah. And I haven't told anyone about this other than Gerard and Pastor Chris. I remember, after the service, I went straight to the car and was like, what the heck just happened? This feels good, but I don't know who to talk to about it. But then, like, dragged Pastor Chris out. He was like, she's got something to say. Yeah. After that moment, I was like, okay, I'm going to fight. This is good.
Wow.
I don't want to be sad anymore. I don't want to, I refuse to have psychosis. I don't want this. Mm. Every image that, everything that he's told me that I am, I will be.
Yeah.
And I remember him telling me, before the song came out, what's that song? I Am Who You Say I Am?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He told that to me and I was like, dang, I should have wrote that first. Yeah, he told that to me and I remember writing that down. Didn't do much with it though. Dang. Got so much. But yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, I chose to take him as my identity.
That's good.
Wow.
Yeah. Dang. Sorry.
That's good.
I don't like talking to, I don't like talking about myself that much.
That was
for everyone listening. We're all tearing up. This is, I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so proud. Oh, girl. Freaking love you.
Oh, man.
We started dating in 2015 and we both met at a funny spot. And I would pray for Christine all the time. I would cry about it. Oh, God, I love you so much. Sorry. It's just, if you knew Christine when we met versus now, oh, bro, man, all the praying paid off. I'm so thankful for Jesus, bro.
Stop it. Stop.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a lot. Like, I was very... I was very sad, to say the least.
Oh, man.
But yeah, he reminds me all the time. Every time, like, I think that, hey, I thought I was getting better. But then, like, I'd have a suicidal thought now and then. Mm. And be like, I thought I was better. Why am I still feeling like this? Mm. And then he'd just have to remind me, hey, you feel like this right now, but look how far you've come.
Yeah.
And I'd always look back. I keep a diary like every year. Mm. And I read through those prayers like, wow, dang, I've changed a lot. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, I just got to keep going. Mm. Yeah, I'm not stopping now. Yeah, but it's just, well, I'm so thankful. Because I really, I thought I'd be dead by now.
Wow.
I don't tell anyone this, but I really thought I'd be gone. And I used to think suicide was so stupid as well. I remember when Cleo died, I have a specific memory of him saying, why would anyone kill themselves? That's so stupid. And I was like, yeah, Cleo, how stupid, man. Dang, just get it together. But then... he died. And I was like, what a liar. What do you mean? We talked about this. How stupid. And I got so mad at him. Yeah. And then, yeah, like I said during the beginning, what seems so, like, it doesn't make any sense starts to make sense. It starts to become reasonable the more and more you think about it. Yeah. And it becomes planted into your head. And it grew. To the point where, like, it just became my reality. Mm. And, hey. Yeah. But thank God I'm out of that now.
Yeah. Well.
Stop the podcast right now. That's it.
That's it.
I feel like I've been talking for too long.
Yeah, we got to keep going. So, yeah. Now that
if you don't want to give your life to Jesus after hearing that, oh, man. By the end of this, you're going to want to.
Yeah. What do you have to say for... because undoubtedly there's probably people that going through a similar situation to you. What would you say to them right now?
I'd say that... I see you pan that camera at me. I'd say that it's okay to feel sad and it's okay to be depressed. Mm. But don't take that on as your identity.
Yeah.
Don't take that as like the be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
But also, there's only so much that medication and counseling can do.
Yeah.
Like, I realized that I was thinking about this the other week. Nobody really talks about how they got over depression. It's how they're coping with it.
Mm.
And that's what they teach you as well, like how to cope with your depression, but never give you the cure. They give you medicine, but that's to suppress it.
Yeah.
And that, cause just a it, band-aid. I remember when I asked them to give me antidepressants, they'd say, just be warned, if you do decide to take this, this doesn't get rid of your depression. It only suppresses it.
Mm.
It doesn't get rid of it completely. And I was like, what's the point?
Yeah.
So the only cure is Jesus. He got rid of mine completely.
Yeah.
And yes, I still feel sad. I still have suicidal thoughts, but I don't take that on as a be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be okay. It's just a storm.
Yeah.
It might feel like it's going on for a long time, but storms end. As long as you remember your identity in Christ and you have a solid relationship with God, I think you can be confident in saying that you don't need to be scared of being depressed and having mental illness. This isn't specifically with depression either. This is any mental illness, like schizophrenia. I don't know a lot of mental illnesses, I'd say just don't take it on as who you are. You are not depression. You are not your anxiety. It's just.
Yeah.
What else can I say?
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree with that as well. Just, I really hate it when the phrase "it's okay to not be okay" gets taken out of context. Like, they take that, I'm like, okay. So I guess it's all right to just stay depressed. Like, no, like, both of us were depressed, and neither of us want to go back.
Mm.
We walked out of that. We got out of that. Jesus delivered us out of that. It's okay to not be okay, but don't stay there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Move forward. Fight it off. It's a battle. Life is a battle.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, we're fighting alongside God, and if God is for us, then who can be against us?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had a similar sort of experience where I thought I was free, and then all of a sudden, all came back. Like it.
Yeah. I get you.
Like it.
Yeah.
Like I was never free.
Yeah.
In the first place, I was like, God, you're a liar. Help me! Like, what's going on? And then he's like, Hey, this is a test. I'm like, oh. This is a test. I am free. And then this is just an outside thing trying to come back in.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, yeah, like, once you're free, it's like the Christian life is not just rainbows and happy all the time. Like, that's not realistic. Like, you still have emotions, but as what everyone said, you don't stay that way.
Yeah.
It's not your identity.
Yeah.
You keep going forward, you know. You don't get moved by emotion, but it's okay to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%.
So, should we end this right now and go to a second episode? Yeah, I reckon we should.
Okay.
That was a good place to end. I think Christine should pray.
No, don't make me do it.
You pray. It'll be good, man.
Hey.
I think you can do it, mate.
Oh my gosh.
From the heart.
Y'all better listen to this. Okay. Oh my God. I'm fine. All right. Let's pray. Okay. Whew. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you're such a loving God and that you're so merciful. Thank you, Lord, that you can never be too far away from anyone. Thank you, Lord, that you heal the brokenhearted, your promises are real, and that everyone's identity is in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that people come to know you and who you are, become curious about you from hearing this, Lord Jesus, and just want to know you more. Thank you, Lord, that you're so compassionate and you never condemn, that you want the best for your children. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 And for anyone who's listening and, you know, you want to have a relationship with God, it starts with believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can't just think it. You got to speak it out. So I'll lead you in it in something that you can repeat after me. So just repeat this. Dear Jesus, I want to know you. I make you my Lord. I make you my God. I believe in what you paid for on the cross, and I repent of wrongdoing, and I'm giving my life to you. I'm surrendering my life, my plans, my decisions, my dreams to you, because I know that what you have for me is better than what I could ever conjure up, imagine. So I thank you that you are now living in me, and I thank you for speaking to me. In your name, in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Congratulations.
All right. So that was really raw. It was really nice. Good podcast. Good episode. Thank you for sticking around. All right. So yeah, follow us on TikTok, on Facebook, on YouTube. Thank you guys for following. We're at 30,000 followers on TikTok now. Amazing.
Wow.
And we're at, I think, like 600 subscribers on YouTube now.
Whoa. Whoa.
And then on Instagram, we're nearly on 1,400 now.
Hey, hey.
So
jeez.
That's cool. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
So share it with your friends. Jesus. Share it with those people, with people that you know who are depressed and, or who you know who's struggling and they could benefit from this. So
yeah,
it'll be good. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Thanks.
See you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at harvestnowchurch@gmail.com to suggest a topic to talk about or ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.